Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Selena.
And hello, everyone. And welcome to Sweet Tea and TV, where we talk about designing women. Was that smooth?
Yes.
So good.
Right where I jumped in halfway through. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah. I got distracted because I looked down and I realized I have like the wrong episode name for this down still. You probably don't. It's fine. It doesn't matter. The thing is that I had at one point wanted to name this something like Bill's back.
Oh.
And so I started thinking, my boyfriend's back and I'm gonna get into... This is all happening while you're cueing the music. And then I was like, oh, there was that movie back in the early 90s where that girl's boyfriend died but then came back to life, but he was like also falling apart throughout the movie. And I think it's called My Boyfriend's Back. Yeah. Do you remember that movie?
I do remember that. It's probably time to rewatch that one.
I think it is.
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Do you think they just took the guy from Hocus Pocus and just like wheeled
Billy Butcherson?
Over? That's right.
Yes. Yeah, I think you might be right.
Okay. Anyways, all that was going through my head.
Do you know what's funny? While that was going through your head, I was looking at my screen thinking, am I on the right episode? What episode are we talking about? Who am I?
Are you even at your right podcast?
Am I even at the right place today? Right. My other co-host is down the street. Right. So I get you guys mixed up.
Her snacks aren't nearly as good as mine. I'm kidding. They're probably better.
She gets every episode catered.
I just don't have that kind of jack.
I was trying to come up with a name for my fictional co-host real quick, but then every name that came up was...
Melina. Felina.
Melina, I like that.
Yeah.
Felina.
Well, she sounds hideous.
Hideous. Oh, Lord.
You're wearing khakis. Anyways, sorry. We're here to talk about designing women.
We could make a transition from my other co-host to this.
Okay.
Because she's my friend. Mm-hmm. And this episode is Designing Women, Season 5, Episode 22, Friends and Husbands.
Go.
As that was coming out, there was still that nervousness that I was on the wrong episode.
Right. No.
You said Bill's back, so I felt like I was in the right place.
Yeah.
Anyway, Designing Women Online's description of this episode is planning for she and Charlene to finish writing their children's book. Mary Jo feels left out when Bill finally, but unexpectedly, returns from the Gulf. Meanwhile, Julia fails her driver's license renewal test, and Bernice starts videotaping everyone in attempts to get her video on television. Air date April 29th, 1991. We're calling this one not Bill's Back. Sorry about that, Selena. We're calling it Another Kodak Moment Down the Drain.
Yes, wonderful.
It's written by Cassandra Clark and Debbie Pearl and directed by David Trainer. So in the world of general reactions, Selena, how did you react to this episode generally?
Generally, I had questions.
Okay.
So, like, why is Julia taking a driving test? She's been driving the ho-show.
The ho-show?
Well, maybe she has been driving the ho-show, you know what I'm saying?
Didn't we learn that from Bernice's TV show?
That's right. She's driving the ho-show. Oh, my God. That would have been the perfect name.
The ho-show?
Yeah. Well, that's a missed opportunity. Anyways, she's been driving the whole show. So, I don't know. I was thrown by that. And then, is it weird that Consuela is also learning to drive at the same time? What's happening? Have I missed something? All that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also watched most of the episode with a question. And then
I thought you were just going to stop there.
I watched most of the episode, and I'll be back next week with most of that episode.
That's right.
No, I watched most of it, like, just wondering what in the world was making Mary Jo flout good manners so flagrantly. Like, she just was paying no attention to good manners. None of the signs was she picking up on. I just could not figure out why.
I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. How do you want to approach this? Because I agree, but then I saw a cut line.
Okay.
Are we okay to go down this road right now? I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't have any cut lines.
Okay.
Tell me more.
Okay. So I was right there with you. Then I thought it got muddier. There's a cut line, and basically it just, Charlene is kind of pushing Mary Jo into working on the book over the weekend instead of spending time with her kids, which is actually what Mary Jo intended to do. So
she intended to spend time with her kids, and Charlene pushed her the other way.
That's right. Okay. And maybe there was like a little something like, but what about me and Olivia? Mm. And so I think Mary Jo felt really guilty and decided to do it anyway. So I do think some of that's in the mix. maybe that's why Charlene also weirdly doubles down on the hospitality, which was also like a weird choice once Mary Jo is there, like insisting she stay for a while and then let's spend the night.
Right. You know. Yeah.
That said, all of that said, push it to the side. This is a rule. If your friend's partner comes home from a war after months and months, plans are canceled, period.
Yeah.
All the rest of it doesn't matter. Even if Charlene was kind of a pushy friend in that moment, which is very rare for her anyway.
Well, so at the end of the episode, they explain that Mary Jo watched an Oprah episode.
Oh, that's actually who I've done. It's Oprah's fault.
It's Oprah's fault. Ultimately, it is. And I'm really glad for that because I was just like, what the heck is Charlene thinking? I mean, Mary Jo thinking. Like, I don't understand why she keeps doing this.
Yeah.
The other thought I had was the best kind of comparator that I have is when I'm still here recording and Casey comes home from work, I cannot imagine an instance where I want to be out of here faster. He's come home from the war zone.
Except for the time zone. I'm like, stay, Casey, take some pictures of us.
Like last Nikki, time. Nikki, do you want to spend the night? Like last time. I was like, Selena, no.
So weird. Yeah. We're too involved, Selena.
Last time I was here, we did take some social media pictures. And by we, I mean Casey took pictures of us. And the whole time I was thinking, this poor man just got out of the war zone that is his job. He wants to be home. He wants to take his shoes off. And yet here I am.
No, that's not true because we also got cookies out of it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because you guys bought Girl Scout cookies.
And my mother-in-law really loved the gluten-free ones. Hmm. So just here's a great place to share that with you.
Great. Thank you. I'm very glad to hear it. But that the whole episode, that's what I was thinking about.
Okay. And to me, too, I think this sort of like kind of nicely comes together with my last general reaction, which is this idea that it's a 22-minute PSA to like communicate better with your friends. Talk. Put up boundaries, be okay with saying no, be okay with hearing no. And I think this is, I'm coming around to something here. I promise.
I'm with you.
This is kind of like the grand finale of what has been a rough season for Mary Jo and Charlene. You know?
So I was in a rush to get out of your house last time I was here. Did you just drive behind me and sit at my house and take notes behind me? Because that is my second general reaction along those lines.
Okay. All right. I was like, what? I'm following you in the car.
Yes. And you're just taking notes behind me. Because what I was thinking about is a kind of a chicken and egg scenario. Like, is it that they decided this season was going to be a bit of a rocky season for Charlene and Mary Jo, and then it just worked out that Jean Smart is leaving the show? Or did they make it sort of a rough season and then Jean Smart, like, did she make the decision before it was a rough season to leave? Or did she make the decision after it was a rough season? I wonder if they wrote this entire season, because we had that blowout argument in Working Mother, which was way back in episode 3.
Yep.
There were dust-ups in episode 6, the one where Charlene bought a house.
Yeah.
Mary Jo was super ugly to Charlene in episode 9, where she went to college. And then by episode 11, we learned Charlene didn't even seem to know that Claudia was turning 18. Her very best friend in the whole world's daughter is turning 18, and Charlene didn't know.
It's interesting. I think a lot of the show tension boils down to Mary Jo being a single parent and Charlene having Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Single parenting
this season for sure.
Yeah, single parenting is so hard in every way. Like I said, I've only been on one side of it. Obviously, I've been the kid, but I saw how my mom struggled. Mm-hmm. It is different than going into a two parent household. I promise you. It is different on every single level. And so I think there's something about that that like naturally lends itself to like an easy tension because it also, it's not just that. It's differences in money, time, support. It kind of almost took like Charlene and Mary Jo were on like an equal playing field. And then she got with Bill, which also took her into like a different financial stratosphere. I feel like that was a weird way to put it, but you know what I mean. And it put like such a severe dividing line between them, even though in some ways you're like, what are you talking about, you both have kids, but their kids are very differently aged, we work at the same place, but you know. And that probably is maybe that last thing that they really have in common these days. And then I will just a thought that I had as we were talking is this it is sort of, everyone has that friend that always has someone. Mm. I swear to God, every friend group has this.
Yes. There's always in a relationship.
And when they're single, they need you, need you, need you.
Right.
And when they're back in a relationship.
Drop you like a bad like habit.
Absolutely. Every single time. Love them anyway. No names assigned, mm-hmm. but it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little of that here. That kind of tension at play, you know.
I think if I don't know how I missed those cut lines, except maybe I wasn't looking at cut lines for this episode. That's really interesting that Charlene was being a little bit pushy with things, because there have been a few times, like that episode where Mary Jo, this was just a couple episodes ago, Mary Jo wanted to have a baby, and it was kind of Mary Jo pushing herself on Charlene. Charlene was like, don't you want to be home? Like, don't you want to not be with us for a weekend? And Mary Jo was like, no, I love being around Olivia. So I think I've spent a lot of the season thinking it's Mary Jo inserting herself in Charlene's life. But maybe the cut lines would have changed my mind.
Yeah, I probably should have written them down, but I was like, Nikki will have them. Sorry.
To see how that worked out well for you.
maybe in case I'm wrong.
On me?
Until someone points out how I'm wrong. But anyway, yeah, it's, yeah, so I don't know. It's complicated.
It's complicated. And it just got, all of that said, it just had me generally thinking about the unanswerable, which is chicken or egg. Their friendship started falling apart as a neat way, like a clean way to write Jean Smart off the show. Or was it just natural? It could have just been natural. I mean, all the things that you've just described, even some of the things that I described happening throughout the season were natural. We've just never seen this tension before between the two of them.
Right.
And so it just felt something that this was also a natural breaking point for Jean Smart with the show.
Well, Cassandra, Debbie, come on the show. Tell us.
You want. Anytime you want.
Tell us what you know, what you remember from 1991. I dare you to ask us what we had for lunch yesterday.
Or breakfast this morning. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Strays.
Julia mentions a bunch of reasons that Consuela shouldn't learn to drive. Consuela wants to learn how to drive? You can't be serious. We're talking about a woman who howls at the moon, makes necklaces out of chicken heads, and throws butcher knives at the good humor man. I just want to point out for the record that none of those are reasons that she can't drive.
Well, the throwing butcher knives at someone kind of signals mental instability.
That's, what did the good humor man do?
I guess that's true.
You know, what if he was throwing knives first? We don't know this
scenario. We don't know.
That's
true.
It was just like a really weird, like, I know they're just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But it was like a really, it's like all these things. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? She can't, like, drive a car.
Right. Like, no nearsightedness. No, right. Like, or if double it was, vision.
More, like, realistic would be like, she doesn't even drive on anybody's ass on the road. She doesn't honk very loudly at people. She doesn't try and drive up on the curb. All the
She's
things
never that, even been 95 miles an hour going around the 285.
The 285. Exactly.
You can't convince me Bernice doesn't know what the middle finger means.
No, but I will go with it. I kind of love it.
I feel like she's probably even given it a time or two.
A purveyor of it, yes.
I feel like she's definitely done it.
Charlene's, let's call it a negligee.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Why did she choose a child's? First of all, she didn't choose anything. But why did someone choose for her a child's nightgown from the pioneer days that was wrapped with like an actual bow?
It did look very American Girl doll, so like not sized for an adult,
right? And I mean, hasn't Bill been through enough? The man just got back from war, and then like, why was Charlie? Except for the fact that that outfit looks stupid, why was she embarrassed for Mary Jo to see her? She had a turtleneck on.
It was what she was saying as she came down the stairs, I think, that embarrassed her.
Oh, okay.
It embarrassed me a little bit. I was watching the show through my open fingers.
Please, I don't want to see these two make love, so, and I know they're going to call it that.
Yeah. So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I also, my second stray. And I'm hoping this doesn't mess up any transitions you have.
No, I'm out of strays.
Okay. My second stray was, if you came home from 9 months in the desert, what food would you be most looking forward to? So Bill said he was too full to have cake because he'd had steak, pork chops, and ravioli all in the same meal. And I was just curious if there was anything, if you went away and came back, I thought of Publix birthday cake. Gives me such a bad stomach ache. It makes me feel great. So sick. But if I've been away for 9 months to a year, that's what I want.
I've got great news for you. I have a Publix sheet cake just sitting downstairs for you.
I also would want good barbecue, I think.
Well, I do feel like I have a little bit of like what I would call a small fraction. And then I almost regret that I've used this as an example. Uh-oh. Because I'm going to sound like a total butthole. But carry like sometimes on. When you've been out in another country for
when
a while.
When you've gone on one of your epic vacations. Yeah.
When you've been out of the country for a while, it doesn't matter what the purpose is. Maybe it's vacation, war. anyways, I'm just saying you like are. Here's when you're home, you don't realize how blessed you are to have such a wide variety of food. We are so spoiled. And then if you're in some places, that variety just isn't there. Doesn't mean the food's not delicious. It just means you can only have so much stew or clam chowder or whatever, brown bread, like whatever. You just come home and you're like,
steak and crab legs.
Did that sound
caviar?
Like
that?
I'm like, cabbage. Anyways, so like you get like you just
yeah
you just need variety. Yeah. It's the spice of life. So I'm guessing when I come home, no matter where I've been, and for like not for whatever reason, we have a pretty high Asian population. When I get home, I'm gonna want some kind of Asian.
Oh, interesting. Really?
I want, because let me tell you something, that is not worldwide. You can. Nobody knows our Pitbull conversation leading into this, but like
I was trying to work in Mr. Worldwide. Yeah. Mr. Worldwide only stays in Miami.
Yeah, but you can't just go anywhere.
That's true.
And have like some bang up Asian food. You can't. Yeah. I tried.
Yeah,
I tried. I've had Chinese in Rome. I've had Chinese in Ireland. Where else have I tried it? It's really different.
Yeah.
And it's really different. And I'm not just talking about like takeout, like run of the mill Chinese. Mm-hmm. Like it's just all really different. Mm-hmm. Because it's like almost a different interpretation of what we're used to getting here. I don't know.
It's all not right. The American Chinese.
What are we here for?
That was my question. It's funny, you go like Asian and I come home and I'm like, if I can have some barbecue, maybe a hamburger and Publix birthday cake, and I'll be set. I'll be good. Yeah. I just want the full American, Southern American experience.
That's right. Well, see, this is why you need to go visit my friends in Ireland who own a hot chicken Nashville place. Mm-hmm. Then you get Americana.
Over there.
That's right.
That's true. Well,
that's there right. You that go. Is a plug for Firebird. Unpaid, y'all. It's in Dublin. They have two locations now. Rinala. I'm sorry, Ashley. I don't remember the name of it. Dunleary.
Woo! She did it. She
you know how it. Hard it is to remember how to say those names?
I thought you were going to stop it to remember.
I'm like, anyways, my pronunciation is not great. If you've been listening for more than 4 minutes, you know that. All right. We'll stop there. That was nice and stray.
That was very stray. Sorry about that.
No, I loved it. Do you have other strays? Mm-mm. Well, it's time for a... Suzanne, watch. I don't know. I just did that right then, so I don't think it's very good.
I won't make her music, and so she's making her own.
Suzanne, watch.
There you go.
Okay.
Now we have
I did
music.
It twice.
I hope you can remember that next time.
We'll see. There is no Suzanne watch. She's not in this episode at all.
They gave her the old Consuela.
Only.
That's what I call it.
Okay. I don't know why that sounds sexual, but anyways, only got two more episodes to go. No Suzanne in this one. I'm glad you mentioned Consuela, because it's interesting that now both of them are the two characters we can't see, but we get mentions.
And they gave her no alibi either.
No, and usually they do, right?
Usually there's some random like trip to the Bahamas or something.
I don't think they cared, because I look back at the timeline. March 28th, a month before this one aired, is when the cast and crew separately met and voted Delta off the show.
Perfect.
So that's maybe somehow at play. Again, I'm just making this stuff up every time. Sorry, y'all. It's just the way it is. I think Suzanne could have been a fun reality check, though, just for the record, for Mary Jo, after she keeps interrupting Charlene and Bill's big bow unwrapping time.
Just pioneer dress, big bow unwrapping.
Here's the thing, though. I've got great news.
What's that?
I'll tell you who did or what did make an appearance in this episode. Peach Cobbler.
Oh, indeed.
Nikki, can we nibbles?
Yes.
Don't worry. I'll vamp.
I got it.
Selena's nibbles. Come on, y'all. Let's talk fiddles. Selena's nibbles. Come on, y'all. Let's eat.
That's a tough listen. That's real tough. I'll have you know.
Because my name's in there.
What you saw me over here poking around a few minutes ago, that was me double checking that I had the music somewhere handy.
Oh, wonderful.
So that you didn't have to vamp for too long.
Yeah.
I don't want to put too much pressure on you.
Does it ever make you sad when you hear other people with like podcasts and they're like, they have got their producer and then their producer's like line assistant and then their producer's like friend in the background and then someone, it's just a two-lady operation here.
It'll never become more obvious than it will in this week's Extra Sugar, where I am stretching myself technologically to try to do something interesting.
Ooh.
So it may or may not be obvious. It may get cut from the final episode because I screw it up so badly. But yeah, I really kept thinking, man, if I just could like go like this, point at my producer and get at that music.
Yeah. You got this, Tim.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. That would be nice. Kyle. Right. Kyle. I'm telling you, we need to train one of my kids.
Yeah.
They're very trainable.
That's right.
Anywho, that's not what you're here to talk about.
Well, someone would have to watch their mouth, Nikki. So here's the thing. I can't just blow by a peach cobbler reference.
It really was looking like you were not going to be able to do that as we were planning this episode out. I was feeling like you had something.
Well, because the thing is, it's the most quintessentially Southern food reference we've had all season. If we were to say, forget about the New Orleans episode entirely, just push that out of your mind.
Sure.
For the record, cobbler has been around since colonial times, and it was born out of necessity because apparently English and Dutch settlers could not find the right ingredients here to make their traditional recipes. And you know what I have to say to that? Fine by me.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say pish posh.
Should have seen that coming.
Pish posh. I should have seen that coming.
Really fun fact. Apparently, cobbler was not isolated to the dessert menu until the late 19th century. Did you know, Nikki Mays, that you could have it? Breakfast, lunch, dinner. It was a dietary staple.
Cobbler.
Good for everything. Not good.
It's a fruit.
It's
a fruit.
The cob or the lure?
Both. It's like I was going to say quickie, but then people might not get the blend. It's like a quiche.
It's like a quiche.
Like a quiche, but with fruit.
This group ought to get the quickie.
Reference. I would hope so.
But, you know, like, here's my thought. Like, yeah, they didn't have indoor plumbing, but cobbler three times a day? Not the worst. Maybe not the best together. We'll link to a tasting table article from our blog post where you can learn more about its origin, because we got to get into this dessert thing here, okay?
God.
Cobbler and peach cobbler specifically is one of the more popular Southern desserts, especially here in our home state of Georgia. So Southern Living tells us, in case you're curious, the other most popular Southern desserts are bundt cake, hummingbird cake, pound cake, Nikki's favorite, red velvet. Then regionally, key lime pie in Florida.
Sure.
Derby pie in Kentucky.
Sure.
You got any guesses about what the top flavor is in the South?
Pecan pie. Or is it going to be apple
Think
pie?
Think more flavor, not necessarily a dessert.
Oh, gosh. Flavor. Think more flavor. I don't know.
I'll tell you this.
Peach.
It is one of the
apples.
Three Cinnamon. Flavors in Neapolitan.
Strawberry.
There you go.
There we go. I knew the whole time.
Nailed it. You were just trying to make good audio, right?
That's what it was.
But we're not here to talk about what's popular. Nay.
What are we here to talk about?
What are we doing? We're here to talk about lesser known Southern desserts. Let me go ahead and say, if you know the dessert that I say, then you can consider this segment Selena's lesser known Southern dessert.
And you can consider yourself so smart,
so
and
smart.
So wonderful and worldly.
So good. You know,
you're
everything.
So much better than us.
We're just trying to get by, y'all. So I was thinking I'm going to go through five that I pulled, and you can tell me, like, do you know them? Do you not know it? Would you try it? Would you not try it? One of them's in the fridge right now, so that's fun.
I like smash or pass.
And you don't really know which one it is.
Style. No. Okay.
So, you might be setting yourself up here. Okay. Here are the five that caught my eye. The first one is Southern peanut pie. This is known as the poor man's pecan pie, according to 12 Tomatoes, and we'll link to the recipe. Aside from the obvious use of peanuts, the other two major differences that stood out to me were like dark instead of light corn syrup.
Okay.
And then chilling the pie versus just cooling the pie.
Oh.
Because otherwise, they said the consistency will be more like a peanut cobbler. I mean, I tried those ways.
Smash.
Right. So this was Southerners making good use of their peanut crop. So it was initially known in Virginia and the Carolinas. I would have figured here, but
yeah.
And it was more well known by the 1940s due to broader marketing and whatnot. I imagine it also had a little something to do with a little thing we call the Depression. So maybe no one had pecan money at the time.
Right.
But flashing forward to today, pecans are really expensive right now.
They are. Nuts in general are expensive.
It's so bad right now.
You know everything.
It's a dark corn syrup. Also, to me, sounds like it would make for a delicious filling. They described it as like kind of caramelly.
So. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm trying to. It sounds praline-ish, like peanut praline, though. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm. That's what I'm hearing and imagining.
So, like,
I would smash.
I need it.
Yeah. I would smash.
It's good. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Also, sounds a little sexual.
It's fine.
Number two, the millionaire pie. Do you know this one? I forgot to ask you. Obviously, you did not know what the peanut pie was.
I'm going
to
guess I could have guessed what it was. Pie with peanuts.
Just like, well, not, I mean, not if you can figure it out or not.
Millionaire pie, does it have coconut in it?
It does.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so sounds familiar.
Coconut and chocolate?
Apparently, you could put chocolate on it if you wanted to, is like a topper.
Okay.
So I selected this one because I'm not overly familiar with it, but it's also a perfect example of the South's love for a no-bake recipe.
I do love a no-bake.
Comes together in 10 minutes, unless...
Smash.
Okay. Comes together in 10 minutes plus an hour in the fridge. Southern Living... Screw it. Southern Living describes it as pineapple bits and chewy sweet coconut suspended throughout this creamy pie, along with crunchy pecans. Gelatin sets the pie so that it is easily sliceable and maintains its shape. So I've seen some recipes, including Southern Living's, that added maraschino cherries. I would eat it because there ain't no pie I wouldn't try, which is my slogan.
So that's perfect. You need that on a shirt. I would call this a smash. It's like right in the middle of smash and pass. Like, I'm going to give it a go, but I'm probably not going to love it. The pineapple freaked me out a little bit because I'm imagining chunks.
It's not.
What kind of pineapples did you use?
Okay, how do you know that I use them? I'm already like defensive of the pie. Or you just got me with a really smart question. If I were you, I would say that you just got me with a really smart question. Nikki, today we're having millionaire pie. I will tell you that the filling did not excite me at all. I left out the maraschino cherries because I think that's disgusting.
Thank
with
you.
All due respect to maraschino cherry lovers.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I don't.
Now, I did put some on top to be pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. We can also go do, 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 do.
I can live with that. I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I tried so hard not to tell you.
It's in the smash category. I'm going to give it a go because there's ain't no pie I won't try.
I tried the filling, and I will tell you, for someone that was like, it's just like, there's something about when you bring coconut and pineapples together, I start thinking about suntan lotion.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It makes me think of like a fruit mold or a fruit jelly, you know, like the fruit gelatin.
Which is just never mind.
Just always was at family events and the cherries were in there.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like never my favorite, but like when I tasted the filling, just to make sure it didn't taste like crap or I hadn't done something wrong, I was like, oh no.
Good.
Okay. Wait, it's made with sweet condensed milk. So like,
oh, I mean, I'm going to give it a shot, Selena. I'm probably going to eat the whole thing, whether I like it or not.
Oh, no. My point being like, if there's sweet condensed milk in it, there's going to be some part of me that likes it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's just like fatty, fatty goodness, which is also right up there with
That's my slogan.
Fatty
goodness.
Number three is Bill Smith's Atlantic Beach Pie. Know it? Don't know it?
No.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I wasn't familiar with this. The poor man's key lime pie.
That would have been my guess.
Well, okay, but it's not wrong, although I don't know, I would say poor man's. But I wasn't familiar with this one until I was researching what to make for Pie Day last year. Itty-hoozy. It is supposed to be like lemon pie meets key lime pie with a saltine cracker crust, which I'm super interested in. Oh. I will tell you for the record, this one is actually also in my fridge right now, but it's for my grandparents' birthday.
Okay. Cool. I hope they enjoy it.
So I got a sad story for you, which probably shouldn't take so much time to tell here, but just real quickly, I had enough left over and I was making mini pies yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to share some with you, a couple of my friends, and Casey when he got home from work. It made 6 of them. Mm-hmm. When I went to put it in the oven last night, I dropped the whole thing on the oven door. And so that's what happened to those. You know, I wanted to, but lately only dust comes out. I will tell you that at least 50 times as I was like cleaning everything up, because it took a long time.
My brain went to that.
Yeah. Off a hot oven door.
Yeah.
It's like all that was happening. And then later on throughout the night, I was like, what the hell happened?
Where did it all go wrong? Like, you wish you had that rewind button so you could see, like, where did your foot slip? What happened?
Yeah, but you know what? I did make up for it because honestly, like, this pie is easy except for all this, like, the cooling for an hour and then the chilling for 3, like, that starts to get, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that I was like,
you're kind of glad it's over. Yeah.
Okay. I had to clean up this pie, but I didn't have to put 4 more hours into like watching this pie.
I get that.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyways, you almost got some.
Okay. Well, your grandparents can let me know how it is.
Sorry about that. Well, you have a birthday this year, I hear.
No.
Real quick on this one, its namesake comes from Bill Smith, who is the longtime chef of Crook's Corner, great name, in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. That's a restaurant. And was inspired by the lemon pies he had. Did I need to tell you that a longtime chef, that the name of that was the name of a restaurant? Did I need to tell you that? Just going to step back. Anyways, it was like restaurants he went to as a kid.
Okay.
They're like in North Carolina, and that inspired him to like make this more official, I guess, and give it a name. Anyways.
After himself.
I'm very interested in the saltine cracker crust.
That sounds interesting.
So, yeah.
So did you make it with saltine crackers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you'll let us know.
I can let you know for sure. I don't know. You'll have to remind me to come back here.
Well, sure.
And let everyone know.
I mean, maybe.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Number 4 is the Charlotte Russe cake. No, no, not the trendy retail chain of our youth.
It's like just a bunch of polyester.
It's all black. Like everything's $30. Exactly. And no, in this case, I'm referring to the 300-year-old recipe, most likely French in origin. It comes in and out of favor and flavor over the decades. Are you familiar with this?
Uh-uh. Okay,
this was new news to me. They come in like a bunch of different varieties, and traditional recipes are more time consuming. I'll tell you after my next therapy session about the gelatin process. But today's recipes are friendlier to both the maker and animal carcasses. So here's how Southern Living describes their take on the cake.
Hopefully better than that.
Yes.
Animal carcasses.
Yeah. I'm telling you, was it taking like a year to make these? Anyways, it doesn't matter. So their take is ladyfingers soaked in a lemon thyme syrup and fresh blackberries and whipped cream crown. And whipped cream crown the set lemon custard for an ending that will give you raves. You'll never even have to turn on your oven.
Oh my gosh.
It sounded good, but like beyond my capabilities.
Skill set?
Yes. So.
And time allotment.
Yes. Yeah. It just sounded, well, I think this
make
one's
the sauce.
Faster.
You got to soak them. And there's some lemon curd you got to create.
Right.
And then there's something on top.
Right. Number 5 also falls into this category for the record. These are jam cakes. Do you know about jam cakes?
No.
Okay. So did I get to 5? And I've come up with 5 good lesser known desserts.
You did. Well, for me, I don't know. I'm ignorant.
Well, it only matters about me and you. Okay.
Someone
obviously we're selfish. We have a podcast where we talk out loud for several hours. Okay.
Indeed.
Anyways, in addition to being lesser known, well, to this table right here, this one sounds delicious and apparently has Appalachia roots. So basically bakers couldn't get store-bought sugar at the time and they used jam instead of sugar. And Southern Living says that that actually makes the cake richer, denser, and more flavorful than sugar alone. This is really the cake I wanted to make. Mm. Unfortunately, there was about 55 ingredients.
Oh, no.
And definitely above my skill level.
Why so many?
I don't know.
Were you making the jam?
Maybe that's what was happening. But like I looked at, oh, crap, then maybe I could have made it. I may have not put that together. This is why I laugh when people like will make comments on or say stuff about like a recipe I made. I'm like, guys, I can barely make macaroni and cheese. That's what you need to know.
It's not true.
But it's not far off.
When I see something with a lot of steps, I first check to see if there are any shortcuts so that I can make it faster.
I've been doing that a lot.
Depending on how much I really want to make it.
Right.
If I don't really want to make it, then that's just a reason not to make it. But if I really want to, I'll look for a shortcut.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably should have done that. Something.
Next time.
Dang it. Yeah. For whatever reason. Because I was just going to buy jam. Because Casey actually said, you going to make jam? I said, make jam.
It's really fun.
Who do you think I am? Nikki?
I like making jam.
I know you do. Really fun. Nikki likes to find all of the shortcuts except for the long cuts that she takes.
On the things I really want to make.
Her talent and know-how. And I was like, no, I was just going to buy a really expensive bottle of, or jar of jam. Right. Obviously someone took a lot of time with that.
Sure.
I've got two honorable mentions. They're both sheet cakes. The Dr. Pepper Texas sheet cake. Mm. And I just thought that one was nice because sheet cake is actually like, well, Texas claims it. And that's, I don't know why, but they claim it. So it's theirs. And then also Dr. Pepper is a Texas soda. So that's like a top to bottom kind of Lone Star State thing. And then strawberries and cream sheet cake also came up in my research, and that just sounds so delicious and springy, and apparently I have to love it because it's strawberry and I'm Southern. So
I used to really love cake made with, like, in calorie counting days, Diet Coke, but like a Coke cake. Uh-huh. It tastes really good, like chocolate and Coke.
I had no idea that you could make it with Diet Coke. I am familiar with a Coke cake.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. And then, yeah, strawberries and cream. It's just... this is good. It's almost strawberry season, if it's not already.
Yeah, very close. Very close. Very close, because I just looked it up for my mom not too long ago.
Well, is she making us a sheet cake?
I think her and I are going to go strawberry picking for Mother's Day this year.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So, good. Love your moms, y'all. So, Nikki, I know we both like dessert. What is it that you liked about this episode?
Transitions. That's a good transition. All of the transitions into what we liked is just like that. Yeah. Anthony's retelling. I have two lines I really liked. Anthony's retelling of Consuela signaling in the car. Consuela is the worst driver I've ever seen. This woman is a lunatic. After I explained to her the importance of using the correct turn signal, she signals right, then turns left real quick, yelling, "Ha ha! I fooled them." I thought that was hilarious.
Also my first like.
Perfect example of sometimes why it's so much funnier Consuela's not there.
Right.
Because we get Anthony being her, and it's just funnier that way, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I also really liked when Julia retold about Consuela taking the driver's test. I think the part that made me laugh so hard. Oh, it was right at the end where she said she went on to take the driving test, but unfortunately she ran into a little snag at the drive-through window. Our DMV doesn't have a drive-through window. They do now. Consuela rammed Suzanne's brand new Cadillac right through their plate glass window. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. It was good timing.
Yeah.
Good delivery. When Charlene came out of the storeroom and found Bill there and dropped the books, it was just really good scene from her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was so happy.
I know. It was really nice. I only want to see Jean Smart happy.
She was so happy.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's hard, like, to not, like, imagine what you would be like in that situation, you know? And we did get to see her go through, like, a fair amount of angst this season.
Yeah.
Any other likes? Just got one more. Just Bernice. Just being her glorious self.
In general.
Yeah. Whether it's calling herself deranged accidentally. To your point earlier, not understanding the middle finger. She gets them all the time. Calling it Operation Panty Shield instead of Desert Shield. Great. And then thinking she just sends the whole camera into America's Funniest Home Videos, which would have, like, I think you could almost see somebody doing that, but she also, like, didn't put in a tape or ever press record.
She never did anything. She just held it up.
I just love her. I love her so much.
She's very funny.
What about things that you didn't like?
I think you touched on this earlier, just not having any Suzanne in this episode. This one had me thinking a lot about the citizenship episode from season 4, and it was teed up in a very similar way. Like, they're dealing with some random bureaucratic process. And in that episode, we got Suzanne getting into mischief along the way. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I thought that this episode had potential for something similar to that. And they just instead, like, yanked Suzanne out of the episode altogether. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just maybe, I understand why, but I think it was a missed opportunity.
Right.
That was the only thing I disliked in this episode.
Real quick. So we don't know why Julia is taking a driving test.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Because we never really answered it. And I was like waiting for you to be like, Selena, how did you miss this cut line?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So just ridiculous.
You know
what? Who retakes driving tests?
I have to admit, I don't. I feel like I assumed that maybe in the 90s things were different. And that you were due to retake your driver's exam every 10 years or something.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe she, you know,
it seems like we'd be stricter now than back then.
Maybe that episode where she ran through the porno stand.
Yeah.
Maybe she had her license taken away.
Maybe.
She had to get it again.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think we know.
I love that it was just a porno stand now. Just dotting the Atlanta skyline. Just one porno stand after the next. You know what I'm saying? It does kind of feel like Cheshire Bridge.
Just a little bit. Yeah, we got a few roads like that.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, the newsstand.
Sometimes you need to stop in for your vapes and your glory holes and just everything all in one. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the glory hole was how you got your vape.
No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I get so confused. You want to rate this sucker?
Sure. My rating scale was trickster turn signals.
Wonderful.
I gave it a 4 out of 5. Like you said, we got a really good run with Bernice. We got some really funny imagery around Consuela learning to drive. It was a, you know, what's really funny is all my like favorite parts of the episode were about that. I really have that part about Mary Jo and Charlene, I guess, really didn't resonate with me at all. Yeah. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
You don't resonate with two friends collaborating around a project. I can't say I do.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I can't revisit that pain right now.
But yeah, 4 out of 5. What about you?
I gave it 4.5 out of 5 horrifying negligees. I wouldn't say this was among my favorite episodes this season, but there wasn't anything I strictly disliked about it. Mm. So that's where I landed. I thought Bill's return was nice. I'm glad that we wrapped that up before the end of the season.
So we could stop talking about it.
It also helps that it was like kind of what was going on in real life. So I guess they needed to bring the boys home. I remember on first watch also, because I know I'd seen this one before, but I don't remember. So like just generally and genuinely being interested in just seeing how those two patch this up, like where that landed, since they just couldn't get it together. So I guess we'll never hear about this kid's book again. So there's that.
Probably not. No. Did they finish it?
I don't know. We don't know. What about Billy Bunny Boy or whatever it was? 90s things?
We had a reference to Pee Wee Herman and his Schwinn. That's when Mary Jo was asking Charlene what kind of bike to give Billy Bunny.
Right.
Bernice's camcorder and like the whole America's Funniest Home Videos thing, which we'll come back to later this week in Extra Sugar. And there were both Angela Lansbury and Wilford Brimley references.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Wonderful.
My only one, wait, did you say the Kodak moment?
No, okay. I didn't.
That felt 90s to me.
But thanks for listening.
Honey, you could have said it and I listened and already forgot. That's how the brain's working these days.
Wait, have we talked about this episode yet?
Your timing was excellent. So that was one that hit for me. And then Petty Cash gets a mention. I don't know if Petty Cash exists anymore. Like,
oh, I don't know.
You know.
I haven't thought about it since Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter.
That's in my parentheses. It's in my parentheticals.
So. Petty Cash.
Oh, God. So good. Maybe that's why it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Someone was always stealing it.
It was just like, there for the taking.
Yeah. Thought this was for me.
By a 17-year-old.
That's right. I go, now, that's a movie you and I can get together on.
Yeah.
I don't know our movie watching always aligns, but that is a true classic.
Taste.
I know. Southern Things.
I don't have anything written down, but I'm going to say Peach Cobbler.
Yes. The old Cobbs. The only other thing I have is just the larger theme of this one, which is like beating around the bush to be nice, but screwing yourself over. Mm-hmm. You know, just like that's Southern. Mm-hmm. I know I love it. References we need to talk about?
So you mentioned Operation Panty Shield, which was really supposed to be Operation Desert Shield. Forrest Sawyer, he's an ABC News journalist. He filed history's first live news broadcast from the battlefield. And right now, in this moment, I'm wishing I'd written down where they mentioned that in the episode. But believe me, they mentioned it.
They did. Charlene, I had to look this up the other day. Charlene is talking about how smart Olivia is or something and says, I swear she just said Forrest Sawyer.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah. That sounds, sure. General Schwarzkopf.
This is where Charlene told Bill. She did, though. She asked, did you meet him?
So he led all coalition forces through the Gulf War. I ended up down a rabbit hole in this dude. He seems really interesting.
Yeah.
His name drew me in, and I just mm-hmm. needed to know more about his background.
I'm just so glad you're the one delivering these this time. Go on.
Jonathan Winters is the last one. He was a comedian who was a regular on Hee Haw in the mid-80s. Can you tell everybody where they said that?
I can. Maybe. Oh, does he really look like Jonathan Winters when she's asking about General
Schwarzkopf? Yep, there you go. That's okay. Why they're right next to each other right there.
Do you like that?
I guess that could have been a Southern reference because of hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
Right.
The Good Humor Man. Mm-hmm. So I think Julia's reference is literally to the nice neighborly ice cream man, but it turns out there is a movie from 1950 about a good humor man who gets into shenanigans, just in case y'all are interested. But what I actually came here today to talk about.
This is the only thing you came to talk about today.
Selena's sidebar at the end. No, I stumbled across an artifice from our childhood that instantly remembered it, but had completely forgotten it until I laid eyes on it.
Strawberry shortcake ice cream?
That's featured. A Good Humor commercial from 1996 doing a song to Scatman. And
I'm going to have to look at this.
Oh, it's in our blog post notes.
Okay.
And I figured if you were okay with it, we could link to it in our show notes and blog post. But yeah, go look at it because I was transported back to being like 11 years old.
Huh. Interesting.
So. Skidaddabop. That's just Scat Manning too.
Cool.
Lynn Deaton, Spyline. Spyline is the book that Bill is reading.
Oh, uh-huh.
Since I paused it and I was able to read it, I looked it up. It's a spy novel. There's like a bunch of them. We don't have to go into that. So that's all I got.
Oh, shoot. I was looking at the Good Humor Man commercial. So next episode, season 5, episode 23-4. We'd love everyone to follow along with what?
Because it sounds like you're 23. I mean 4.
No, sorry. You know. Episode 23, entitled 4. We'd love everyone to follow along with us and engage. Instagram and Facebook at Sweet Tea and TV. TikTok at Sweet Tea TV Pod. Our YouTube is at Sweet Tea TV 7371. Our email address is sweetteatvpod@gmail.com, and our website is www.sweetteatv.com. There are several ways you can support the show. Please, please, please tell your family and friends about us, rate or review the podcast wherever you listen, and then you can visit that website and click on the Support Us tab for more options.
Support us!
Please, I'm for the love kidding. Of God, save me from myself.
Save me from my day job. kidding.
And now you got me laughing, Selena, which is perfect for Thursday's Extra Sugar segment, which I'm calling From Belly Laughs to Belly Flops, an ode to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, I thought you were going to call it America's Funniest Shot in the Nuts.
No, but there are those. It is, as it sounds, an ode to this American classic. And I am very grateful to Bernice for dropping it as a reference so that I could do this entire segment.
I was very grateful, too, because then I didn't have to do an extra sugar.
Tell us how you really feel, Selena. You'll be involved. Oh, yes. you'll be involved.
Oh, God. Is it going to be America's Funniest Shots and Mine?
We're going to line you up against the wall, and I'm going to throw stuff at you and see what's the funniest.
I mean, it might be kind of funny. Kind of into
it. Would be hilarious.
It would be. All right. Well, you know what that means.
What does it mean, Selena?
Well, it sounds like I'm about to get a tomato to the face, but also it means that we'll see you around the bend.
Bye.